As a church, as God's people, we have just gathered around the Lord's Supper for what we know is a memorial that our Lord God had set up, knowing how we can be such a forgetful people. And our minds are set upon Jesus today and God's love for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We also know today and this weekend as a nation that our minds are set upon another memorial, a memorial for the men and women who gave their lives for us and our freedom so that we would not forget. You know, I was thinking this weekend, it really bothers me, or this week, it really bothers me how easy it is for me to forget. I think God knew that. We are such a forgetful people, and He doesn't want us to forget. That's why we have the memorial to the Lord. That's why I'm thankful for this nation, that we have a memorial for those men and women through the generations, that we would not forget, who went to places, who experienced things, and saw things that we hopefully never will have to. And we enjoy what we have today because of that. And I hope you'll just take some time this weekend, today, tomorrow, and that you'll stop what you're doing and you'll reflect and you'll remember. Maybe you have family. Maybe you have grandpa. We know as a congregation it hit home very close to all of us in 2012 when Chris Birdwell gave the last of his full devotion of his life for all of us, for his brothers, for his country, for his family. And we remember that. We don't forget. We make a pact that we won't forget. And so I hope you'll take that time, say a prayer, because you and I warm ourselves by fires that we did not start, from our Lord and also from our nation and our men and women and the freedom that they have offered us. We're here today and we're not too concerned because of those people that laid down their lives. I want to start a series. There are four lessons on spiritual growth. I feel like they tie right into our theme for the year. Hopefully you haven't forgotten it. I've said it so many times, you shouldn't have forgotten it by now. But remember, we're focused on devotion, right? A church reaching for devotion, that reaching up, reaching out, reaching in. And the spiritual growth idea is the reaching up part of it in our maturity, in our faith, in our growth, in our relationship with God, which really never ends, does it, church? At least it shouldn't. I surely hope you're not one that thinks you've reached the desired end. None of us have. We're always growing and maturing. And these lessons are meant for that and to focus on our growth. You know, when I was thinking back on our Lord's life and everything we have written in Scripture from early on in His childhood, which we have a few Scriptures that reference His childhood. Not many. I wish we had more. I'm curious. I'd like to know more of what our Lord's childhood and His youth was really about. That's just a curiosity that I have. But we do have some Scriptures, and what we find is our Lord has always been, even from a little age, a young age, very purposeful. Our Lord was a person with purpose. You go back and you think of that time in which He was lost from His parents. Remember early on? Can you imagine His parents, what you would have thought? Your child's gone for hours and days. You don't know where he's at. Finally, you find him, and he says something to you very peculiar. Mom and Dad, I don't know if he said Mom and Dad. Maybe he did in their language. Mom and Dad, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus knew His business. Jesus knew His purpose, even at a very, very, very young age. And then the Scripture records that He was growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Our Lord at an early age was growing. He had purpose in His life. Think back to the very end of his life when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, a familiar picture in our minds today and every day, especially we think about it, we sing about it as we take of the Lord's Supper, when he was in the garden with the disciples and he had prayed, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me." Remember that? He knew the cup of suffering. He probably didn't know all the details of it, but he knew the cup of suffering that was before him, the cross that was right ahead. And he said, "If there's any other way, my Father, will you take this from me? Remove it." But then he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Remember in one of the sections of Scripture, we read that the disciples were praying and three times they fell asleep, probably because of exhaustion. We've all fallen asleep during prayer, haven't we? They're in the garden. Jesus tells them to pray. They're falling asleep. And the third time, Matthew 26:46, Jesus comes to them and you remember what he said. He said, "Get up. Let's be going. Arise, let us be going." Some of the most purposeful words ever spoken. Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem and the cross, and he never looked back. And he had us in mind, church. The sacrifice of the sins of humanity, all mankind, you and I included. Purposeful words. Now, the purpose of the spiritual spark, wherever we're at in our faith, and we're all in different places, but the purpose is, or the focus of the spiritual spark, is to help ignite within us again that purpose. Purpose of who we are. What are we to be about? What are you to be about in your everyday life? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here on this earth? I believe you do. But it needs to be reminded. We need to go over this again. And that's the point of these lessons. To ignite and spark in us again that purpose. I don't know where you currently are in your faith. Only you and God know. I know we all have our ups and downs, don't we? The undulation of life and even spiritual life. Ups and downs. The motions of our faith that we go through. I know it's easy to fall asleep. I know it's easy for us to fall asleep because of life and all the other exhausting things that we face, and to be like the disciples and we just fall asleep. But Jesus wants us to get up. He wants us to get going. He wants us to be purposeful. Whatever we're facing today, I don't know what you're facing. Maybe your struggles are with health. Maybe those issues have to do with your age and where you're at, or your marriage relationship, your work. It's all those things, different things that we face as humans. But Jesus' desire, we know, is for us to get up and get going and be purposeful people. Because we have a faith to live and a faith to grow in. Again, none of us have reached that desired end. I was thinking back to both Peter's letters. His first letter, he talks about growth, doesn't he? Remember in chapter 2 and verse 2, when he says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Salvation is something that we grow in respect to, that we grow in. In his second letter, the very last verse pertains to growth. When he closed out his letter to those who had received the faith the same kind as ours, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge." Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You go back and you read the Hebrew letter. Remember, those Jewish Christians were struggling with going back into the Jewish system, going back into law. Remember, on this very topic, the Hebrew writer writes in chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, that concerning him, Jesus, we have so much to say and it's hard to explain. He said, "Since you have become so dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be," there's an expectation, "you ought to be teachers, but you need again," notice the emphasis again, "for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I always think of a grown person who's on baby food, or from a education standpoint, somebody who ought to be in algebra is still in the basic level of math. There's an expectation. There's a maturity process. And even in spiritual things, there is the expectation of a maturity in a spiritual process, a maturing process. I want you to remember this principle. Each lesson in our four lessons, I'm going to give you a principle, okay? A simple principle to tie all this into. And this principle was taught to me. It's called the sky principle. This is the best artwork I could do here, church. So this is all you get. I do stick figures and things like that. The principle is not mine. It was taught to me by a former elder in the church who worked for IBM back in the 80s and was very, very high up. He was like a regional manager in all of Southern California. And then as he moved up the ladder, he went around all over the world and he taught business principles to IBM and their leadership. He taught this to me. So I'm going to take this business principle and apply it to our spiritual lives because it really does apply to us. And it's very simple. The sky principle simply states this. There is always sky at the top of the trees. Now I want you to think about trees. I want you to think about the greatest trees, the tallest trees. I don't care if it's the redwoods of California. Great, massive trees if you've ever been around them. They're unbelievable. The largest trees, let's say, in the world. If you look at these trees and you will notice there's always room for growth. There's always, no matter how tall those trees are, you're always going to find sky at the top of the trees. Now think about this in your pursuit of Jesus. There's no end to it. No matter where you are in your faith, I don't care how old or young you are, how smart you are, how many scriptures you know, all the Bible, you know it front to back. There is always sky at the top of the tree. There is always room for growth. Somebody coined, sky's the limit, right? How far can we go in this thing? There's no end to it. And I want you to remember the sky principle because I think it is very, very important. Now, how do we grow spiritually? What is it that is going to ignite in us purpose again? Maybe right now you're being very purposeful in your life. Keep it up. Maybe some of us are struggling with this. What is it that's going to ignite that purpose in us again? This lesson has one point, okay? All you got to do is remember this simple one point. What is going to ignite purpose in us again? Spiritual growth starts or begins with a plan. Now that's not too hard, is it? Spiritual growth starts with a plan. Improvement always begins with some sort of plan. Church, we cannot wander aimlessly through our faith. We grow through our faith. Don't wander aimlessly. Don't be like the waves that toss us to and fro. Don't wander aimlessly. Growth is always a purposeful, intentional, deliberate thing. You will not grow like you should on accident. It is not going to happen. You don't get from point A to point B on accident. You know that. We don't grow on accident. We grow on purpose. I want you to think a few things to illustrate this point. I want you to think about this. Here's one up here, wedding plans. I know if I was to get a show of hands and ask some of you, there's many of you here, especially you ladies, who have been involved in wedding plans, right? I mean, how much time do you spend on wedding plans? Quite a bit. If it's your daughter or granddaughter, you're going to spend a lot of time on it. Hours, days, weeks, months. Sometimes people even spend years planning these things, don't they? I mean, you think of all the importance of decorating and the shopping that takes place, the planning, the invitations, the dresses, the clothing, everything. It all has to be planned. Let's just say one day you said you had a daughter and you said, you know what? This one, we're just going to let it happen. We're spontaneous people, right? We're just going to let this wedding happen and take place. We're not going to plant it. We know that's silly. It wouldn't happen. But just for the sake of this point. We're just going to let this thing happen. No decorating, organization, planning, or anything. What's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be the sorriest wedding you've ever been a part of. And you're going to see one very disappointed bride and family and friends. All because of a lack of what? A lack of planning. How about this? You ever make vacation plans? We just came back from a great vacation. I'm not good at vacation plans. My wife is very good at it. I remember, it was 2 weeks ago, I was thinking about one of our vacations we went on years ago. So I asked her, Kel, what was your favorite vacation with us as a family? And right away she mentioned when we went to Yellowstone years ago. The kids were quite a bit younger. I think it was 2009. I remember the year. But you know what we did that whole year leading up to that summer? Kelly went down to the Windsor Library. She brought all the books. She bought a CD. We watched the DVD. We talked about the history of the park, all the events and the things that take place there, the trails, the flowers, the animals, everything that's involved in Yellowstone National Park. And you know what? We spent time talking about it, anticipating it. And I think that's a big reason why that was one of our favorite vacation, because of the planning. I got a little story for you before we move on to the next point. Connor was only about four. Connor's my youngest. Some of you are new, don't know that. So Connor was about 4 years old. You know, there's a lot of bears at Yellowstone, right? You got to be careful. You really do have to be careful there when you're off on a trail hiking somewhere. And so they encourage you to take bear spray. Wear it on your side, right? Some people also take a sidearm. I had both. I had a 44 Magnum. And this one day we were going to this camp or this picnic area, and it was a trail, and we knew there were a lot of bears out in this area. So I decided I'm going to wear the gun. I'm going to take the gun with me. And I put it, Connor's right there, and he's looking up at his daddy. And I put this big old 44 on my side, and I'm, you know, buckling it on my side, and his eyes are big as saucer. He goes, "Whoa, don't mess with that guy." But it was a great vacation. Matter of fact, we did see a bear on that trip, and there were some other people there. I learned something. People will get behind the guy with a gun when there is a bear. Men, women, and children. They do not object to that gun when there's a bear around. I learned that very quickly. Wedding plans, vacation plans. I know none of you ever make any money plans. I know money doesn't mean anything to any of us. I know that we don't think about our retirement and spend any time with financial advisors throughout our life. I know that we don't invest in certain stocks and all those other things. We don't have plans for our mortgage and paying off our home and monthly budgets, right, with our money. None of us are a part of any of that stuff, right? No, we know that isn't true. And we know some people who will spend weeks, months, years of their life planning for these things. Rightfully so, because you want to be responsible with your money and take care of yourself at the end of your life and your family and the church and do some good things for humanity with it. And so you plan. And you make those plans for your money. But let me ask this question on our topic of spiritual growth and having a plan. How many of us have some sort of spiritual growth plan? Someone was to ask you, what's your plan? Would you be able to tell them, this is my plan for growth? And why not if we don't? Well, that's a real good question, I think. I have not always had a growth plan, but why not? We kind of chuckle and laugh, don't we? Hey, you're being a little ridiculous. Why is it that we can purposefully spend hours, days, months, years planning weddings, vacations, retirement, and money, and have no plan for growth? Well, God didn't tell us we had to, right? He didn't tell us how much effort and time we need to put into it. Did he tell you how much effort and time to put into your marriage? Well, we have some scriptures that reveal how we need to be in our marriages, but did he tell you how much time Did he tell you how much time you're just put into your vacations and your retirement? Does he have to tell us that for us to know we need to do this? Listen, church, people plan important things. It's the bottom line. And those things that you make plans in are important to you, whatever they are. And I do believe this is very important to all of us, and we know that. We need to make a plan. Your plan prepares your path. Where are you going? What's your direction? And the plans that we can create are limitless. I'm not going to tell you what kind of plan you need to have. I'll encourage you in some areas that I think need to be part of our planning, but you have to put this together. I won't tell you how much time you have to put into it. I think every day we ought to put some time into our spiritual growth. What is going to feed you? What is going to keep you going? Just like a car, it cannot run on one tank of gas. You cannot run with one filling of God's word once in your lifetime. What are we to be doing between our birth into Jesus, our baptism, where we were forgiven and our sins were washed away, until the time we're taken up to be with God in heaven? What are you to be doing with your life? What is your purpose? Paul would say to the Romans, don't be conformed to this world. How's that going to take place? This world's pulling on us. It's pulling on me. But Paul says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's not going to happen just once after you've been baptized. That's not going to happen on accident either. That's going to be something that is intentional, purposeful, and deliberate. That's part of your growth. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So make a plan, because improvement starts with a plan. Now let me share with you a few things that I think ought to be on our plan, and you can put them in whatever order you want, the way you want, you can add to them. How about study? Is it important for us to study God's word? This is basic elementary stuff, right? Practical stuff. We cannot ever think we have enough within us. God's word needs to be in the heart. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord continually before me. Continually. Psalm 16:8. Have you set the Lord continually before you? Study is part of that. Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent. That word is continuous effort, right? Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So you're to be diligent in those things, according to Paul. The study. Your focus might be a topic, a book, a word study. A lot of people like to study words. But study. Get into your Bible. A wise preacher told the young struggling preacher once when he's having a hard time, just start reading through the Psalms. And when something jumps out and grabs you, just write in your journal about why that gets your attention. And write out your prayer. It's a great practice. That could be part of your growth plan. How about this? Thinking. That goes without saying, right? Call it meditation. Should we meditate? These things placed within us, God's truths, and to sink deeply within us, to chew on them for a long time. This is the Psalm 1 aspect, isn't it? This is the blessed man who didn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Right? He prospered. In everything he did, he prospered. Why? Because he meditated upon the law of the Lord day and night. That needs to be part of our growth plan. Meditation. Thinking through these things. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The psalmist said. So study's a part of our plan. Thinking and meditation's part of our plan. Just plain old reading, right? Somebody said, reading is feeding. How many of you read? A lot of you do. Reading is very important. It's exercise of the brain. Helps the creative juices to flow, right? Creativity, innovation, and all those things. Gives us ideas and encourages us. I encourage us to read as much as we can of good, wholesome things. noble things, stories and life, and things that are excellent, right? And of good repute, as Paul would say. How about prayer? This goes without saying too. How easy it is to just get lackadaisical in my prayer life. That is one of my struggles. But you know what? As our brother Charles Hodge said, prayer is the voice of faith. Why do you pray in the first place? Because you have faith. You pray because you believe. That's why. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, right, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ. Part of peace of mind comes through prayer. That's why it's so important to be part of our growth plan. How about this? Action. There's always got to be action. What you can do, our scripture reading was 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Let me quickly go through verse 5 to 7. Take one of these. You could take one of these once a week or once a month. Think on it. Pray about that one thing in your life, that virtue. You can do the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit, right? Take one of those and work on them. Pray about it. Read about that one thing. Listen to what Peter said. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, the idea is add to, supply moral excellence. Anybody need to work on their moral excellence? And in your moral excellence knowledge, there's a few of us that need to work on our knowledge, right? Myself included. In your knowledge, self-control. We need to be a controlled people. In our self-control, perseverance, the keep on keeping on. We're going to come back to these again throughout our four lessons. And in your perseverance, godliness. Your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, there's your growth word, increase. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And last one. How about talk? I call this self-talk, talking to yourself. If you heard me do this, you'd think I was crazy. But I do talk to myself. I have to, church. Positive reinforcement. You could use scripture. You can make up your own. Make them true. Strong. Noble thoughts. God loves us. That's truth. No matter how messed up things have been, He loves you. I don't know how much you remind yourself of that. He wants you to love yourself. That's part of self-talk. God loves me. I love myself. I'm important to Him. I'm forgiven and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Is that a lie? Or is that truth? Church, we walk by the Spirit. We do not carry out the desire of the flesh. That doesn't mean we never struggle with the flesh. But our intentions and our focus are on the Spirit and the Spirit's ways and the Spirit's thoughts. And if God is for us, Scripture says, who can be against us? Tell yourself these things constantly. Listen, Jesus went three rounds with the devil, didn't he? Remember, it was in the wilderness, that was the ring. Three rounds with Satan. It was a great temptation in his life. Remember, this is when he began his ministry. Ultimately, Jesus would knock him out. We know that. But it was a great fight and a great battle. And how did Satan lose? How did Jesus defeat him in that temptation? The same way all three times. By, you know it, what was written. Now, if that was the power and what Jesus used to overcome the temptations of this world, what is it? What are you and I going to use? I mean, what makes us think that we could use anything else other than what Jesus used to overcome that? That's all part of your self-talk and what you tell yourself in your mind is Philippians 4. Go back and read it. When Paul gives us a list of things to set our minds on. And it's not an exhaustive list, by the way. He'll say, and such things like these. Think on these things, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus as you think on these things. No end to this planning idea, but start thinking about a plan. Come up with a plan. James Allen, who wrote an incredible short book, if you ever have a chance, go read it, called As a Man Thinketh, about what we put in our mind, that the mind is like a garden and thoughts are like seeds, and there's a lot of weeds in there we got to pull. But he wrote this little book, and he said people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. Now, I think that's a great truth in spiritual things, that people want to improve the circumstances of their life, but they're unwilling to improve who they are, their character, the spiritual things of our life. And until we're willing to improve those things, we will remain in prison or bound. Remember, people plan important things, so plan your growth. For what does it profit a man or a person if he makes or she makes great wedding plans? There's some profit, but what overall does it profit us? What does it profit me and you and all of us if we make wonderful vacation plans? What does it profit us if we make all the perfect money plans? Retirement plans, investment plans. For Jesus said, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? And yet he forfeits his own soul. For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then what did he say? In Matthew 6, 33, we know what he said there. Seek first his kingdom. Seek God and his kingdom first. All and his righteousness. All these things are going to be added to you. The needs of life, God will provide us. So remember this point. Spiritual growth starts with a plan. Let's pray. Father, we know that we make our plans, and we know, as the scriptures teach, that you will direct our steps. And so as we pray to you today, we acknowledge you as God, and as we acknowledge you, we trust that you will make our path straight. Father, help impress upon all of us the importance of a spiritual growth plan, to think about our growth every day, and to remember that there's always room for growth in our life. Father, grow us, mature us. Continue to make us into your people of great devotion. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. If you're not a child of God this morning and you desire to be, you want to be baptized into Jesus, having all your sins washed away, this is the time to do that. If you need prayers of the congregation, we're going to ask that you stand. We ask that you come forward as we sing the invitation song.